you know, one of the most
yeah, you can't really get radon out of the water once it's there.
Yeah, the radium, the uranium,
the
that's in some of these wastewaters, it can be removed with certain kinds of treatment processes. There are processes that will do it depending upon the size of the radionuclide particles, but then you end up basically with a sludge. It doesn't disappear, and which has now got concentrated radioactivity. And that means that there needs to be appropriate facilities for disposal of this matter, just as there is a need for disposal of low-level radioactive waste that comes out of hospitals and other facilities that use radioactive materials. It isn't clear at all right now that the waste products that are being generated are going to those facilities. And in fact, under both New York law and Pennsylvania law, the wastes that are produced on the site are defined not to be hazardous and therefore can be treated
as... Who's defining them this way?
Our state laws are. So our state laws and our state regulations. And they're in doing that, they're following the federal government, which also does not treat gas wastes as a hazardous waste. The oil and gas industry was never brought under the control of our hazardous waste laws or our hazardous substance laws. And
the Bush-Cheney administration gave them an exemption specifically to the gas and oil industry for this,
yeah,
right?
Well, the industry has been outside of some major federal laws since the 1970s. What the 2005 Energy Policy Act did was give them a couple of additional exceptions, including one from the Safe Drinking Water Act and some additional protection from the Clean Water Act. There's a little bit of federal control at this point over the oil and gas industry, but for the most part, what we have to do is rely on state law. And so we are faced with a patchwork of state statutes and state regulations, and there is no environmental baseline that's required across the nation, as there typically is in the case of other industries that are likely to pollute our water and our air.
And at this time, there is in Congress a bill that would close the Halliburton loophole, we'll call it, which is the exemption to the oil and gas industries from the Clean Water Act. And so the bill numbers for the listeners, if they wish to look them up, is the HR bill is 2766, and the Senate number is 1215.
So this is national legislation. So contact your national senators. In the case of New York, it would be Schumer and Gillibrand.
And Maurice Hinchey has been very involved in promoting the passing of this bill within the Congress.
So it's Senate 1215 and HR, House of Representatives, 2766. That will protect the entire country from the loophole that Halliburton got from Bush and Cheney.
During, well, it's within the 05 Energy Act.
Well, that's nice to hear. Now, I know that Trout Unlimited is worried about the streams out west. Are they active out east?
They are. They've been involved in coalitions in both Pennsylvania and in New York. They're deeply concerned about what this process might mean for trout streams. In Pennsylvania, where the drilling is already going on, we are seeing numerous applications for the construction of new wastewater treatment plants that will deal exclusively with gas wastewaters. We're also seeing applications for modification of permits from existing facilities so that they can add gas wastewaters to the waste that they treat. And a number of these facilities are scheduled to open alongside of and are expected to be discharging into cold water fisheries that currently support trout. And these are recreational facilities for millions of people in these various different, beautiful, pristine areas. People often talk about the great economic boon that the gas drilling will be, how much revenue it will bring into the state. But when they do that, they don't talk about what we may very well lose. And both Pennsylvania and New York rely very heavily on tourist dollars in many of our parks and other pristine areas of the state where there are unbroken forests and there are still clean streams. And if we lose those, then we lose all of those tourist dollars. We lose the vacation homes. We lose the recreational facilities. So we have to look very carefully at the economic claims that are being made by the industry to make sure that they're not only looking at the short-term gain that we might have from a couple decades of gas drilling, but we're also looking at the permanent loss, potentially, of a sustainable economy, one that's based on the preservation of the resources on which we currently depend.
Yeah, I'm thinking about places like West Virginia and Eastern Kentucky that have had coal mining for 100 years, and they have among the highest poverty anywhere in the United States. So clearly, mining is not good for the economy of the areas where the mining takes place. It's good for the mining companies that are not there. They just use the area, but not good for the area. And again, that's information that we have throughout the country. It's amazing that the politicians of New York State don't want to learn from the people outside the borders. And those of you who live in the areas where this is already taking place, talk to the people of Sierra and Earth Justice to find out what they're doing so you can help your own state. This is a national issue. People are saying, oh, well, it's a New York City issue because you're worried about the New York City drinking water. And, of course, the other parts of the state are worried about their drinking water. So it can be one law for everybody or one law to partition the state. New York State politicians are really good at divide and conquer politics and setting the downstate against upstate. And I'm afraid they'll do that for this, and they'll protect New York City's water supply and not protect anybody else's, thereby further driving a wedge between upstate and downstate. So it'll be harder for us to work together on things.
I'd like to address that at this time. Given that the state is within a process of commenting on the proposed draft supplementary generic environmental impact statement, and I would like to address the division within the upstate-downstate yeah. matter and the role of New York City and the electeds. And during this comment period, there have been commitments by both the City Council, the Manhattan Borough President's Office, the Department of Environmental Preservation, to submit comment on the implications of drilling within the New York City's watershed. The Controller had also made statement as comment regarding the impacts of drilling and the need to preserve our city's watershed. At the same time, we must protect all watersheds within the state of New York. They are interdependent.
Right.
We need to approach this matter as a statewide, region-wide, nationwide, global perspective. And with regard to the actual needs for this gas and these so-called economic opportunities, where we have not incorporated all the costs, the social costs, the health costs, the environmental costs, the impacts on our watersheds and so forth, within this industry's need for making as much profit as possible in the shortest amount of time as possible. We need to bring most interested residents to come forward and participate in this process, for which there is a deadline of December 31st to comment. And so I'm addressing the sending the listeners to the DEC website, which is dec.ny.gov. And on the homepage, you can click onto the Marcellus Shale Natural Gas, and it'll take you to the site and the document for which comments must be substantive. So the comments have to address specific issues within this 800-page document. Mm. And there have been requests to extend this deadline until end of March. But at this time, it is still as a December 31st deadline.